we actually need a chance to sit there, do nothing, reflect, heal, and not actually feel guilty about it because our bodies actually need that.
Welcome back to Work is Third. I'm your host, Dawn Hunter, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, we're talking about what your body has been trying to tell you and what changes when you finally listen. I'm joined by Dr. Aisa Magural, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Holistic Fitness and Nutrition Coach, speaker, and author. In this conversation, we explore how breath, movement, and recovery shape our nervous systems, our energy, and the way we show up at work and in life. Let's get into it.
Hello, Dr. Aisa, and welcome to Work is Third.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I know it's been a while since we first connected, which is entirely my fault and one of my challenges, which is overcommitting on my calendar. But we are here today and together and looking forward to the conversation. But before we get into it, I would like to start to ask you to share by asking you to share a word to describe how you're doing today.
I don't got a word. I got a sound.
A sound. Okay.
I feel a little eh today.
Eh?
Honestly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the week before my period, my energy is a little bit low. I have also overcommitted.
Okay.
So my energy is kind of eh. But at the same time, I actually saw a client this morning. It just like gave me life. Like I'm just excited to talk and like share with people. So I get to come here and share and talk to people. So I'm excited to be here.
Well, I appreciate that even though you're feeling eh, that you're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's hard to show up when you're feeling that way. I like to have my recovery days, I call them, but I find it really hard when I don't feel great to be around people.
Yeah, definitely. But I also try to look at it as like, it's just like this shift in perspective. Like I don't have a ton of things to do today. And then the things that I do get to do, I just get to help people. So
yeah. Yeah. I like that. So what is your day looking like after you leave here that will be either calming or busy or both?
So I'm supposed to do my plyometric day. Like this is where I'm supposed to like start to jump and I have some pull-ups and push-ups. But like I said, I'm feeling a little eh today, so I'll probably do more recovery work. So it's going to be deeply tied into like breath work and mobility stuff, get to pick up my daughter. And then I ironically have another podcast later.
Overbooked. So today is definitely an on day for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about that because one of the things I recently learned was the importance of actually having on and off days. So I'm in Rachel Rogers' coaching program.
Yeah.
And she calls them performance days. And I think it's rehearsal days.
Yeah.
So the rehearsal days are where you're not on camera. You're not doing anything. You're doing work, but you don't have to really like be on for people.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been doing that. So like every day was an on day for me. And then recently I shifted to have a couple of rehearsal days. And it is life changing.
It is. It is. And I call it kind of like, I think you just said it, like the recovery days. And those are the days where like, and I feel like people think of recovery as like massages, ice baths, self-care, getting your hair done, nails done. But I look at recovery days as kind of just like resetting your mind, getting your mind kind of like, okay, this is what needs to be done. This is where I need to be. Allowing your nervous system to reset because so many of us, just because of our lifestyles, our nervous system is tipped towards this sympathetic side, which is kind of like this chronic stress state. Mm-hmm. And so many of us aren't even aware of it. So I think the recovery days or kind of like the days where you're kind of like preparing, I think those are more important than the days like you're actually showing up. Granted, there are periods where you have to like show up a little bit more consistently, but we need to be really good at just getting back to those recovery days because I feel like that is how I'm able to show up right now, even when I was feeling a little eh this morning.
Yeah. So what are some recovery things that we can do that are not getting our nails done or, you know, getting, I don't know, massage, which all of those things are great. But
yes, yes.
We're also trying to reset our minds, as you said. Yes. So what can we do?
So a lot of us are taught we can do yoga, we could do breath work, which are really great practices. But a lot of the times we don't really like fully address it. And our breath is literally the foundation of how we move as humans. And it's deeply tied into our nervous system. So connecting with our breath and tying this into our movement practices, it allows our nervous systems to tip towards more of this parasympathetic side, which is our recovery side. So it allows our nervous system to tip towards this side. So we're able to feel safe and recover in so many different ways. And when we're able to recover in so many different ways, because our bodies are just so stressed all the time, this just allows us to have a little bit more balance so that when we do show up, we're not coming from a state of survival mode. So I help people connect with their breath and then I tie it into yoga, mobility work and even how we work out so that our body just is trained to feel safer. I think breath work, this deep foundation, is something that is often missed, but is so vital.
You make me think about how we can incorporate breath work into conversation, because it's easy to talk and get hype and then you don't realize that your breathing is no longer regulated, you know, so your breathing is adjusting with your energy.
Absolutely.
But can we be more intentional and say, I'm going to take a deep breath in the middle of this conversation? Yeah. And that helps to regulate us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because right now it's like, I feel like our energy is good. Like we're like feeding off of each other and like I'm comfortable in this conversation. But what if it's something that somebody that you just don't like?
Yeah.
And you're like slowly starting to like tense up, slowly starting to like hold your breath, your face is, you get in that RBF, because I live in that RBF. I had to train myself out of it.
Same.
Yeah. Good. But like you might not even notice that it's happening. And that's us becoming disconnected from our breath. But that's because our body is telling us, I don't like this person. This person is not safe. But the same way that our body is telling us that, we could tell our body, you're okay. So even in a conversation mm-hmm. that you don't necessarily like this person, you don't necessarily like this conversation, sometimes we got to do it. And even in these conversations, you could just slowly tell your body just to connect with your breath. So it's just able to bring your body down a little bit more so that the conversation is more manageable and it's going to have a better effect on your health long term.
So tell me more, because you help other people to do these practices, right? Tell me more.
So I'm traditionally trained as a physical therapist. So I see people for neck pain, back pain, shoulder pain, pretty much pain an area of your body, as well as pelvic floor issues, constipation, IBS, DRA, things of that sort. So I treat people one-on-one for these issues with manual therapy, like hands-on work, and I teach them how to exercise properly. And all of these things start with maybe calming down some like areas that are a little bit more like tight, tender, but this breath is involved with every single thing that I treat, because this is the foundation of how we move. And if we don't address this breath, we're kind of building on top of a faulty foundation. So I do a lot of these like manual techniques, and I teach people how to connect with their body, and I help them implement it in a plan that works for them. And I also offer workshops where I'm like actively showing you how to connect with your body, because so many times people are like going through these exercises and after I show them, they're like, wow, I've never felt my butt like that before. Like sleepy glutes, it's a thing.
Wait, so what do you do so that you don't have sleepy glutes?
So it all starts with our foundations. Our glutes are always working, but how effectively are they working? And they can't work effective if our foundation is off. So I like to think of our foundation as two balloons stacked on top of each other. But so many of us, because we're so tight, our balloons kind of get like squished and everything is kind of just like all congealed. And when that happens, our joints don't move like they're supposed to. Our muscles don't move like they're supposed to. So it all starts with kind of giving people a better foundation, which is our breath, and then allowing this breath to work in all types of mobility exercises, and then actually training their glutes to work.
I want to be able to wake up one day and say, what was the phrase? I could never felt my butt like this before.
Yeah.
No, it's funny that you describe that, because I journal in the mornings and I lay kind of propped up in my bed. I have, you know, 100 pillows and just I'm very relaxed and I'm journaling. Yeah. But I realize even if my legs are straight or my legs are crossed, I sometimes cross them. Yeah. I will notice that my left leg, I hold tension in. It's tense the whole time. And I'm very actively trying to notice that so I can just release the tension in my legs. Like be actually physically relaxed while sitting there. And I didn't realize that I was doing that before, where it's like I'm sitting with the energy, like I got to be ready to do something.
Yeah.
Is that common for people?
It's common with so many people. It's like our body remembers this constant state of tension. Like a lot of us, we've come from, I have this running to-do list. I have to work. I maybe have to manage kids. I have to be here. This running to-do list in our head is our body in this perpetual state of stress. And when we're in this perpetual state of stress, our muscles know this. Our muscles are prepared to get us out of stress. So I like to use the example of like running from a lion. Stress is literally like supposed to get us away from danger. But when we're stressed from sunup to sundown, our body feels like it's being chased by a lion all day. So we're holding more tension. We're going to have more blood flow to our muscles. Our gut isn't like the the functions of our gut that actually like digest our food, it's going to kind of shy away from there. We're going to produce more stress hormones. And when we kind of have that going all day, our body's not meant to be like that all day long. And that's a big part in like the diseases that we're experiencing. But also our muscles are tense all day long and our muscles remember that. So even if you are relaxing, like it's just because your body is used to being stressed out all day. You just constantly hold that tension in that area.
So what can we do to remind ourselves to let go of that tension? You know, because I go to yoga, I do Pilates, I like to stretch, I do Zumba, and I love to stretch and do the foam roller afterwards.
Yeah.
So good on my back. But outside of those times, I don't know that I'm as intentional or observant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what are some things that we can do to be more intentional and observant?
Yeah. So it's good that you're doing like the foam rolling and maybe you do get massages. I think you said that.
I do get massages. Yeah.
So those help to kind of like calm down these muscles that hold so much tension. But what's really important is to actually connect to this breath. You want me to show you?
Yes.
Okay. So like I said, our foundation is our balloons. We have our rib cage, which is our air balloon, and then our water balloon, that's our belly. So we want to kind of have them stacked on top of each other. This just means sit up. Don't force anything, but just sit up. So if we force something, that's going to make us hold a little bit more tension. Then, and we're doing this sitting right now, and then you guys might be doing this sitting right now, but this will be easier if you're either laying on your back or if you're laying on your side. We want a nice tall spine. That's going to give us a good, sturdy, nice, long foundation. When you breathe in, your mouth should be closed. My mouth is going to be open because I'm talking. You're going to breathe in through your nose. When you breathe in through your nose, everything is going to expand and get bigger. It is not just breathing into your belly. It is breathing into your rib cage, the front of your rib cage, your chest, the sides of your rib cage, your belly, your back, and lengthening through your pelvic floor. So as you breathe in, everything expands and gets bigger. Now, this is the part they don't talk about, this exhale. This exhale is important. This exhale, you're going to get a lift of your pelvic floor, compression of your lower belly, middle belly, rib cage. I want you to picture this as a lift and zipping type motion. And then you want to try this over and over again. And it might feel difficult right now. It might feel like, what the heck did I just do? I don't feel anything that you just said. I know. It takes a few times. So this right here, you might have done it sitting. Like I said, it's easier on your back or laying on your side. But this is kind of the foundation. And then when we tie this foundation into mobility work, core work, it allows us to start to move better. It allows our core muscles to be stronger. And then when we apply this to things that we're doing in the gym, we're able to target the areas that we need to target so that we can get stronger and progress over time. And I think this is the major thing that so many people miss is actually understanding this foundation and tying it into how we're sitting here right now as we reach over our head throughout the day, as we bend to pick something up off of the ground, because this is our foundation, it's tied into everything that we do. So throughout the day, as long as we're just getting like subtle glimpses of this connection with our breath, it gives our body microdoses of safety, microdoses of reset, so that when we are stressed out, when we do have all these things that we need to do, because we do need to push it, like that's how we get to everything that we want in life. But we need to actually kind of tap into this recovery component as well.
You make me think that like when I bend over or maybe I reach for something, like you were just saying, I hold my breath, I think. And maybe a lot of people do. So
I do sometimes too.
Yeah.
I am so human. I am. Go relax.
Like, yeah.
You are not being chased by a lion. Yeah. So I consciously have to tell myself throughout the day to relax. So it's like this intention throughout the day, but it's also periods of where you're like teaching your body to move better. So we do need to kind of have this like targeted time where we're just connecting with our breath, connected just with our body, just intentionally starting to move better, and then kind of just have this related to other areas of our life.
So I have a question for you about breathing. I notice that when I walk around, my stomach is soft, right? Like I feel like I hear my Pilates instructor saying, tuck it in, activate your core. But when I'm just walking around and doing stuff, I don't think I do that. Should we be doing that? Should we be keeping our core active, or is it okay? Is it preferable for it to be soft? So for the purposes of breath work,
different instructors will teach different. Should you be holding your stomach in tight all day long? Absolutely not.
Okay.
So that's going to cause more tension in your body, more tension in your pelvic floor, more tension in maybe not your deep abs, but your upper abs, and you're probably getting in other areas as well. So throughout the day, I just like to tell people just to breathe, focus on just getting slow, long breaths. You're going to have periods where those muscles relax because we want our muscles to relax. But then you're going to have periods where these muscles lightly contract. So we don't necessarily need to be squeezing all day long because that's more tension in our body as well.
So I want to go back to what you were saying then about physical therapy for things like indigestion or other like gastrointestinal issues you might have. I don't think I realized that this was part of your repertoire. Or, you know, how does that work in terms of how you use physical therapy to address some of those issues? Yeah.
So I saw a patient yesterday with ulcerative colitis. So she's been having like a lot of fecal incontinence. So she's had like having a hard time just controlling her bowels. And after like just learning how to breathe and just move a little bit better, she had her first instance of no blood in her stool after like 10 months.
Oh, wow.
And a majority of it is, this is really tied into your nervous system. And a lot of people with like these digestive issues, like their nervous system is in this constant state of fight or flight, this chronic stress state. And that's going to play a role in your gut, because if you're stressed out, your gut is stressed out. You're not going to be able to digest like you're supposed to.
Your gut
chronically feels stressed. Also with that, when you're stressed out, you're going to have tightness in your neck, your back, your hips. And what that does is it limits the actual like pumping motion of your organs. So like throughout the day, as you walk, you're supposed to kind of like rotate back and forth. But if we're chronically stressed out, if we chronically have like all this tightness, we don't move like we're supposed to. And this pumping motion kind of just ends up being kind of like this. It just pushes all of our organs downward into our belly region, into our pelvic floor region, causing a lot of the symptoms that we experience because we're so locked up. But by learning how to actually move better, by learning how to rotate better, it allows these muscles to lengthen and it allows our body to get this natural pumping motion and it allows our organs to start to function a little bit more as they're supposed to.
Yeah, that makes me think of yoga and like the movement massaging your organs, basically.
It is.
Right? Okay. Yeah. And that's the same purpose, right? To help your organs to function in a more healthy way.
Yeah. So with yoga, what it's doing is it's allowing us to kind of stretch some areas that might be tight. And if areas are tight, that's going to kind of keep everything all squished down and that's going to limit our mobility. So when we're doing any type of like yoga practice, that's allowing different muscles to varying degrees to lengthen a little bit better. So we're able to restore some level of movement. But what I will say is that in depending on who's teaching the yoga, a lot of the times they push more and more motion, but they don't necessarily explain or have the intent of where that motion is coming from. So there's like dancers and gymnasts, like people that you'd expect to be like very flexible, like they're very flexible. But what you will find is that they do have areas that are tight. So they have areas that are tight in like their hips, in their back, in their neck. And those are the areas that need to be stretched out or have a little bit better mobility. And a lot of times just yanking on a muscle, you might feel this, like if you try to just yank on a muscle, it might feel good afterwards, but it doesn't actually kind of like give it that full lengthening. And that's why that breathing component is really important, because it stretches you from the inside out. So if you are doing any type of yoga practice, I think yoga is amazing. Continue to do it. But you really want to incorporate this breathing component. And I would say don't force it, because when you force it, your body's going to fight a little bit. And when you fight it a little bit, those muscles are going to tense up a little bit more. And you're not going to get that lengthening from the area that we need it.
This is interesting, because I do hot power yoga, which I love. But I feel like there are constant reminders to breathe during the class, like remember your breath. But if we're forgetting our breath in the class, is that somewhat defeating the purpose of what we're there to be doing?
Yeah. So if you're forgetting your breath, you forget that intention behind it, your body's going to use the patterns that it likes to use. So the areas that you're likely already tight in, the areas that you're probably over dominant in, if you're not connecting with your breath in some way, and I don't expect it to be perfect, you're likely overusing the areas that are already tight, and it might make some things worse. Sometimes it makes things better. It depends on the person. But I think the intention behind the movement is everything, and intention behind your breath is everything.
So I am sharing all the practices I do, but you said you were going to work out later today or to do something for your body later today. So tell me more about what you do to care for your body.
Yeah. So I have a workout split of 3 days a week. Sometimes I run on top of it as well. It's heavy weightlifting. So I lift heavy stuff because I want a butt. I had no butt for 18 years of my life, and I decided one day I want a butt. I'm not going to pay for it. I'll pay for it in the gym. So
pay for it in the gym. Yeah. Yes.
So I work out 3 days a week, a lot of heavy lifting, but this breath work and core work is tied into my warm up. It's tied into how I'm lifting weights. At the end of every night, most nights I'm a bad girl sometimes. I have like intentional breath work where I'm connecting with my breath, sometimes calming down some of my muscles, mobility work, some gentle core work, just to kind of restore some of these things. Cause even as I'm working out, even though my workout is very intentional, I'm focusing on my breath, I'm focusing on my form, I'm human. These muscles, the muscles that I like to use, the muscles that are already tight, they're gonna kick in a little bit more. So I do extra work. Little extra recovery work. So it gives my body a little bit more of what it needs so that I'm able to reset better. So I think that's the biggest thing that so many people miss in the workout world is we think that we need to like do all of the workouts. We need to push it hard. We need to lose our body fat. We need to gain more muscle. But if you're just doing that, but you're kind of neglecting this recovery component, or taking it a step further, you're doing the recovery component, but you're not really getting it to the deepest level. The results that you get in the gym are not going to be as good because in order for our muscles to grow, in order for our body to stay somewhat in balance, we need more of this parasympathetic state to allow our body to heal. And that's what I want more people to understand is just we need to give our body more of this parasympathetic state.
I'm hearing you say, and you are able to do this in 3 days a week. Are you doing other movement or what are you doing on the other 4 days?
I got movement snacks.
Movement snacks. Oh, yeah. Tell me more.
So sometimes I'm a weirdo in public. Sometimes I'm a weirdo in private. Like I'll do like my computer work and whatnot. And then I'll go to my wall and just do some of these activities to kind of like reset myself. It takes like 5 to 10 minutes or so. In the morning, I'll take like 20 minutes or so. And it's very intentional, like breath and core work. So 20 minutes. And then before bed, 20 minutes. Sometimes I'm chilling on the floor, watching a podcast, maybe watching a show or something. And I'm just doing random things. So I try to just give my body more of this recovery work as much as I can. I walk, but it's not that I'm in the gym every day, like pushing it super hard. And I think that's what so many people think. And granted, there is a time where you might want to push it a little bit harder if you really got some goals to meet, because I get it. We got goals. But that's not all the time.
Right.
And when we do it all the time, that's where I see so many problems in this fitness industry is that people push it all the time, whether that's from work, whether that's in the gym, because you're trying to reach like a specific body goals. Like we want to look a certain way. But if we look a certain way and we get to that point, but we feel like absolute crap, like we feel drained, our body hurts, our gut is bothering us. We're not pooping. We're pooping too much. Like those are problems. And is it worth it? I just want people to reflect. Is it worth it?
I think it's not worth it to push your body that hard.
I agree.
But it took me time. I would say it's still something I'm learning too, because I was very conditioned. I've talked about on the podcast before as an athlete from a young age where you're, you know, being active 6 days a week or whatever.
What sport?
Track and soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
Track, soccer, basketball.
Okay.
What was your event?
Hurdles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was terrible. I knocked him down. I could just run fast.
It's interesting. It was the one magical thing that seemed to work for me. Like I was an okay sprinter, but I was great at the hurdles and pretty much no other event. I remember.
Do you have long legs?
I have long legs. Okay, yeah.
Maybe. It's like our bodies are like destined to do like this one certain thing.
Yeah. But in it, so this goes back to what we were just saying, though, is like finding the thing that's best for your body. Yeah. Right. And so I need to do more weightlifting as getting older and making sure that I have good bone density and that, weightlifting is important for metabolism, of course, as you age. I don't do as much as I should. I would actually like to do more. I would like to do 3 days a week of weights. I don't do
that. I recommend that.
Does Pilates count as strength training?
No.
Why?
If you're just starting out, I would say it could count as strength training. But if you were to do this long term, I'd look at Pilates as more of kind of just like this deep core slash mobility work. So in the beginning, if you're doing this to build muscle, you're going to get to a point where it probably builds some type of muscle, but you're not going to be able to overload your body, overload your glutes, your arms in a way that's going to be able to actually build more muscle at a certain point. So I think people starting off with Pilates, especially if you have like a good instructor, that's a great place to start just because it's tapping into more of that foundation, but you need some heavy weights.
Yeah. I do the reformer, so I don't do mat Pilates. I feel like I'm getting more of a workout. Actually, I feel like I noticed a difference in my body more doing the reformer than I did doing yoga regularly. Yeah.
I like Pilates over yoga just because Pilates is so deeply tied into your breath and this control. And I feel like Pilates really helps with strengthening those core muscles, helps to improve your posture. So you have like a better, like sturdier foundation. So I am all for Pilates, but it's not just Pilates. You need the strength training. And if you're just starting off, it could even be 2 days a week. It doesn't have to be like 3 days a week, 4 days a week. You can start off with just 2 days a week. And then you, just like anything, you just progress and build over time.
So in addition to taking care of your body in these ways, what are some things that you do to take care of your mind?
So I'm an ADHD girl.
Okay.
I got a lot of questions, a lot of tangents. So I got to keep myself on track. So I have a journal where I have all the things that I'm working towards, all the things that I want. And I kind of have to prioritize. Like, so I feel like prioritizing is so important. What this means is sometimes there are things that I really want to do and I just can't do it. And I have to make myself say, no, you're not going to do it. I have to table it for a later date. What it does is it kind of takes out the congestion out of my mind. So I really have to stay organized, like what I'm doing to stay on track. With all of these things, deeply rooted, I just want to be happy. I just want to be with my child. I want to get married someday. I just want to enjoy my life. So like everything that I have, that everything that I want, it's tied into like my ultimate goal. And what I really have found is that it all takes like this mindset shift. Like I told you, I wasn't feeling that great today. And what it really comes down to is just shifting things to just think a little bit more positively. Like I'm just so grateful for everything that I have. And I'm just happy with just like the simple things that I have. Happy with my daughter, happy with where I live, happy that I get to do this every day. And then the chance that I get to be better every day. And anything that happens in the day, and granted, I'm so not perfect and I could be a negative Nancy, but it's kind of like flipping the switch to think about, oh, this is bad, but hey, this is what comes out of it. Oh, I didn't want to do this today, but oh, I get to help all these people. Oh, this didn't go the way that I wanted to, but hey, maybe something's better coming from this. And I think kind of just like this flipping the mindset, it just makes one, it makes me happy. I get to enjoy things more. I get to enjoy people more. And yes, I'm enjoying these things, but these all also reflect in my health. Because when you're thinking about these things negatively, you're thinking about everything, you're worrying about every little thing, that's going to have an effect on your body all the way down to a cellular level. That's causing your body to be in this stressed state. So just flipping like how I think about things and giving my body, my brain, like the actual space to care about all these things so that I can actually show up at my best. I feel like that's what helps me to kind of take care of my mind because it all starts with your mind.
Right. I do that a little bit. Today is a busy day for me.
Yeah.
And so I try to compartmentalize now and really put my focus on one thing at a time. I started journaling to myself just one day at a time, one task at a time, because I will think about all the things I have to do, even in one day, not just the future. I think about the future all the time. But also today, that I'm like, I've got this going on. But I'm like, no, right here, I'm with you.
Yeah.
We're having this conversation and I'll deal with whatever else is coming up. But I used to, and maybe this is, I'm not diagnosed ADHD, but I feel like this is what I'd be having this conversation. And then my mind is like going through my to-do list. And then I'm thinking about planning for the next thing I have coming up. And it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. I got to clear my mind.
Yeah.
But I've been working on that. And so it's like, I want to be fully present in this conversation with you, right? And to enjoy our time together. And that takes a really intentional focus and effort to put my mind on saying, in this moment, I'm here, I'm enjoying myself, and I'm grateful for that.
And I feel so many people feel that way. Maybe they don't think that they have like an ADHD diagnosis, but they're like constantly worried about like all the other things that they have to do. And I think a big component of that is just we have so many things we have to do. Our bodies are not meant to do all of these things. And we're just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it to maybe survive, maybe because we have goals. But I think, how are you going to be present when you literally have like a never ending to-do list? So I find like just taking some things, even if it's not everything, just taking some things off of your plate, it allows you to just be present more. And there may not be the perfect solution for this because there's so many things that we can't take off of our list. But there may be areas in so many people's lives where you're able to say, hey, I don't need to do this now. And that frees up some mental space.
Right.
And when you free up that mental space, you're able to be more present in your day because you're not rushing from point A to point B. You're able to actually take time to like actually take care of yourself. And I feel like this to-do list, this productivity is the cause of so many of the issues that we experience.
I have a ridiculous to-do list.
Same.
But I have been working on it and doing one of the things you just said, which is I don't need to do this right now. Mm-hmm. I may not even need to do it this week.
Yeah.
And I used to just have a list every day. I just have a list and I get through what I get through. And then I wake up the next day and I'm going to get through what I get through. And then I was like, no, this is not healthy. It doesn't feel good. And so what can I move and say, I can do this 2 days from now? I think that was also giving myself permission to say my mental energy doesn't need to be on this today.
Yeah.
Whereas I was operating for a long time, for several years, in fact, with just the whole to-do list every day. I don't know how I'm going to get all this done. Well, I was never going to get all of it done.
That sounds so hard.
Yeah. And now it's like yesterday I had two things. I worked on two tasks the whole day and blocked time for them. And it was weird in a way because I was just like, I feel like I should be doing more.
That guilt.
Yeah.
That guilt.
Yeah.
There's days where I plan to do nothing. And I feel like I have to tell myself it's okay to do nothing. Like we don't have to be productive at all points in the day. We actually need a chance to sit there, do nothing, reflect, heal, and not actually feel guilty about it because our bodies actually need that. And we gotta keep telling ourselves. And when you do nothing at first, it's gonna feel awful, especially when you have these things that you want to accomplish and you're taking care of all these other people. It's gonna feel awful at first. So we need to practice it, and we need to tell ourselves it's okay to do nothing. It's okay to just be there, take a space, do something that we actually enjoy instead of be in this constant state of production. And what you'll find is that has a significant impact on your health, but also how you show up in your work, in your task, in all the activities that you're accomplishing throughout the day because you're more present.
Well, I find that giving your mind room to declutter, to get rid of the junk that's there, helps you to be more present.
Mm-hmm.
So having those practices is really important. And incorporating them. I wish I had learned this, 10 years ago or right. Whatever, right? Yeah.
The things they should have taught us in school.
Right. More useful things, taking care of your body and not just reinforcing capitalism.
I didn't need no geometry.
Right? I loved math. I was really good at math, but I'm like, I don't use most of the math that I learned.
Math was like a game to me.
Yeah.
Well, I love math too, but I don't use that geometry, trigonometry, and anything that I'm doing.
I like puzzles, though. So I feel like, actually one of my favorite little games is Nerdle. I haven't played it in a while, but it's like Wordle, but with math. Huh. And so you have to figure out the equation of the day.
It's algebra?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Algebra was my favorite.
Yeah. And so it's like you have 0 to 9 plus minus, divide, multiply, and you have to figure out the equation. And so you guess the numbers. One time I guessed all but one correctly on the first try, which was like, this is just a download from the universe because I don't know how that happens. But it's a fun, I love that. I love exercising my mind that way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I need to do that. I used to be so good. I don't think I'm that good anymore.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but there was a point in time where I had my game breaks during the day. So I was doing Wordle, Nerdle, Quartle, which is 4 Wordles, at once. And then I was playing one more. And then it got to be such a routine and it almost was a negative habit.
Oh, too much of a good thing.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I am going to break the streak, right? Yeah. Like Duolingo. I'm like, I'm going to break the streak. I'm not going to play this game today.
Yeah.
It's good. It was just like reinforcing this need to do, and to put my attention on that every day.
Yeah.
And so now it's just occasionally I will go.
Yeah.
Play it. Do you play these?
I don't. I've never got into, I mean, I had like the Tony Hawk and the Dragon Ball Z when I was younger, but I never got into like the games as I've been older.
Oh, okay.
I'll go watch a podcast, a YouTube, I'll read a book, I'll learn more. So it's not like a game that I'm playing, I'll learn more. That's my good, bad habit.
You know what I miss is I used to work in a lab and on my lunch break, I would just take a book and go sit outside and eat and read. There were really nice trees around and there were like these benches. So it was possible to go do that. And I have not done that in many years.
Sometimes even just something like just something that you enjoy, just something so simple, just sitting outside, that's healing in itself. So that's something we should also do. We should all do.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Take a break and go sit outside for 5 minutes today.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's nice where you are, if it's snowing, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would love to go back. You talked about your work and, you know, on the show, work is third. So I want to talk about work in the context of how you arrived at doing this work. How were you called to it? And do you feel like this is your calling and your purpose?
I do.
Yeah.
So in high school, we had to write a paper and I chose physical therapy, like on like the profession that we had, that we wanted to do. I had no clue what physical therapy was. I just knew I could not sit at a desk for 40 hours a week. So I loved math. So I thought I was going to be an accountant, but then I realized I could not do that. So I chose physical therapy, went through physical therapy for undergrad, grad school. And later in grad school, like between like the transition from between undergrad to grad school, my body like gave out on me. Like I was exercising 5 days a week. I was sleeping roughly like my 7 to 9 hours. I was eating well, but I had this constant nauseousness. I had this constant pain. Like I had pain in like my hand, then it'd shoot to my shoulder, my foot, everywhere. I was constantly like bleeding. Like I always had my period, had these constant infections. And I went to all these doctors, had all these tests done, and they're like, you're fine. Like, how is it that I'm eating well, I'm exercising, but nothing actually feels fine? So I go through physical therapy school. They didn't really give me an answer. They told me to take birth control, which I took at the time, which helped cover up my symptoms. But it made me just question all of these things that I was taught in physical therapy school and kind of like see how everything is connected. So the major reason like why I feel so driven by what I'm doing is because like my body has just been sensitive. Like even like growing up, I always had more injuries. I had like all of these like different like weird symptoms growing up, which at the time of my life in grad school, everything was just like super stressful. I was working 30 hours a week. I was in PT school, which was crazy at the time, and I was working out sometimes 2 days a week or 2 times a day. And like all the things that like I think I'm doing everything right, why is this happening to me? And the reality is just my body has just always been sensitive. So it made me just dig deeper, kind of like understand things at like the deepest level to help myself. And now I'm seeing all these patients and I have to help them as well. And what I found is everybody is so different. Something that worked for me, like somebody in their 30s right now, 40s right now, could be doing exactly what I was doing, that I did in college, and could have been completely fine. But there could also be somebody who's my age right now that just going to the gym and doing a little bit at the gym could set them into a complete flare up. And what it comes down to is we're all so different, but all of these things are connected in our body. And the thing is so many of us are completely unaware of like how to actually take care of our body. And we don't understand like our individual differences. So I believe my purpose is just teaching people how to actually just take care of their body and all the things that we actually have control over, because they teach us this at the most basic level in school, in college. They kind of make all of our habits even worse. Then we get out into the workforce, we're required to work hours, more and more and more hours, but don't actually have time to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And all this is because, one, that's just how it's set up. But two, we have no awareness of what our body actually needs. And I just feel like it is my purpose to teach people all the things that we need so that they can actually take care of their body. So they're not relying on all these, like all this stuff that we hear on social media that can be helpful, but a lot of it doesn't have like the context, doesn't have the nuances, and it can't be applied to every single person. So I just want to help people understand their body.
I love that.
Thank you.
I think everyone should understand their body.
Right.
In fact, it wasn't until recently, like you mentioned, it's the week before your period. And like on a previous episode, we talked about a couple different guests, we talked about just planning your weeks around what phase you're in. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that until I was an adult. And so that was social media, but also like your body's, everybody's different, right?
Yes.
So you might hear this, but then you have to kind of do your own work to figure out what works for your own cycle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are so many people that think of like cycle syncing. The week before my period, I just chill. I do nothing. I do yoga. The week of my period, chill, do nothing, do yoga. But if you're in the gym and you're trying to make progress to gain muscle, if you take 2 weeks out of the month, every month, you're really slowing down your progress. And what I like to use is more of the term cycle awareness. Mm. So somebody who might have like a little bit more symptoms, like they might be dealing with like aches, pains, or issues of that sort, you can definitely modify what you're doing the week before, the week during your period. But it doesn't have to be like just chill, breathe, walk. You could actually be in the gym. And depending on who you are, it might be something really light. It might be something modified to what you normally do. But it's just kind of having some like awareness of our body so that we're able to kind of like tailor it to where we are in our cycle and how we're actually feeling that day. Because some people might feel great during those time periods. I'd like to use caution in that because some people don't understand that little bit of like that headache that they're feeling, that little bit of like that dip in energy, that little bit of back pain that you're feeling. Those can just be like little hints or warning signs. Yes, you feel good. Maybe you can do the workout, but just reflect. Is it, how are you feeling afterwards? Is it affecting how you show up afterwards? Is it causing more pain? So you have to kind of like take a couple days off. This is just to say, just reflect on how your body's actually feeling.
Well, the awareness piece is so important. And I think giving yourself that grace to like adjust if you need to each day, because it's, you know, you could be feeling fine at 10 a.m. and then maybe you work out in the evenings like I do. And then the evening rolls around and you're just not feeling it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, I need to do something else or I need to do nothing.
Yeah. And sometimes it's okay to do nothing. Just we want to reflect on, is this what works for me? And is this what's working for what I'm trying to achieve?
And I think that's a part some people are missing sometimes, which is they don't have a clear vision for what it is they want to achieve.
It all starts with the vision.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to the gym, but why are you going to the gym?
Yeah.
I go to the gym because I want to be able to move at 80 years old.
I want to be a sexy grandma.
I want to be a sexy grandma as well. With a butt.
With a butt.
Yeah. Yep. I'm taking away the message, play to your body's strengths. Yeah. What works best for you?
I think my approach is very scientific, but very intuitive. Like we have this, or we should have this natural intuition, but we just become so just disconnected from it. So one, I like to just teach so that we kind of like have like this understanding. But as you kind of go through this process, because it is a process. Like you can't start this and expect to be just how you want after a week. And I feel like that's what stops people is we expect instant results, but it's a process of understanding like what actual bodies need and like learning your body over the course of time.
Learn your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely are disconnected. And so I appreciate the conversation for reminding us to focus on being more connected with our body, with our breath, with our minds. Okay, so what I want to do next is ask you the four questions I ask every guest as we kind of start to wrap up our conversation together. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. So the first question is, what is something that it is easy for you to say yes to?
Speaking engagements.
Okay.
Speaking engagements, podcasts, things like this.
Do they give you energy, like good energy?
It does. So coming from a socially anxious person, like talking to people used to like give me like sweaty pits, sweaty everything. I'd forget everything. But I found like this is what just brings me so much joy. It's just helping people take care of their body.
I love that. Okay. So then what is something that it is hard for you to say no to?
This is such a hard question because it depends.
Yeah.
Because I could say yes to something. I could say no to something. It just depends on the time frame. And I feel like this is annoying because I almost can never give a straight answer because it almost always depends on the situation. So yeah. You can ask me this question one day and I'll say yes to something. The next day I'll say no to something. It just depends on the situation.
Right. Yeah. What's a good reminder? Our boundaries are fluid. They are situation dependent.
Yeah.
Right now in my mind, if I had to answer that, I guess I would say it's hard for me to say no to staying out late with my friends.
Yeah. I'm almost always that person. Like my bedtime is 10 or 11 o'clock. Like, but there might be time. Oh, let's go have some fun.
Yeah.
So it just depends.
Okay. Fair. Good answer. Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to taking care of yourself, setting boundaries, finding joy in life, what do you do really well?
I think I plan everything rather well. So like I have my journal, and my journal is like my little coach. So I have like all the things that I want, and I go back and I make sure I'm on track. And if I'm not on track, I make sure I course correct. So I make sure, I think I've gotten really good at just making sure I'm on track with doing what needs to get done so I get to what I want.
Okay. I'm a planner, so I appreciate that. So then where do you still struggle?
I'm a recovering perfectionist. My vision is quite big and I want it in a very precise way, which doesn't happen overnight. And I want everything right here, right now, exactly the way that I want it. So I've been learning to just relinquish control and just do the best that I can. And sometimes I'm a little bit harder on myself. Sometimes I'm like, okay, this is good. It just depends on the day. But I need to get better at just letting things go.
Constant practice. We're the same person there.
Yeah. I'm
also a recovering perfectionist.
Yeah. It's like the recovering perfectionists are drawn to each other.
Yes. You understand what it's like. You know mm-hmm. what it's like. Yeah. Okay. So as we wind up, I'm curious. I'm taking away a lot of really great ideas and thoughts. I love movement snacks, number one. Thinking about personalizing your wellness and your well-being and being really attuned to your needs. But is there something that we didn't talk about today that you would have wanted to share?
You are what you eat. So I just talked like a whole bunch about like this movement and lifestyle component, but nutrition is just as vital. So we want to make sure that we're fueling our body with actual food. So biggest tip I can give and keep it very simple is get your protein from either meat, fish, and then a whole bunch of plants, fruits, and vegetables 3 times a day at least. And that gives your body so much of what it needs, and it can help you show up and work better and have a better health.
And it's good for your brain,
right?
When you eat healthy, your brain functions better. Yeah,
absolutely.
I am curious because I've been trying to eat a little bit more plant-based, less meat. Mm-hmm. And I have changed over time. I don't eat chicken anymore, or very rarely.
This is a good topic.
Is it? Okay. Tell me your thoughts on this.
Okay. So many of us are protein deficient, and protein goes to make up our muscles, our blood, our brain, our nerves, our hormones. And when we're not getting enough protein in from our diet, that's going to play a major role in any of the symptoms that you're experiencing, but also our weight, our longevity, how we function in our day. So we need to make sure that we're getting in enough protein. So we get protein from meat, fish, dairy, and then we can get it from plants as well. But the thing is, with plants need to be combined with other plants so that you're able to get all of the amino acids so that the protein has its full effect. And when we're just getting them in from plants, we need to eat more because it's going to absorb it. We need more for our body to absorb it. But also when we're getting mostly our protein from plant sources, there are so many vital vitamins and minerals from animal proteins that you'd have to eat so much plants just to get to what you need from the animal proteins. And what that ends up doing, that could also increase the calories that you're consuming, the carbohydrates that you're consuming. And if we're over-consuming calories, if we're over-consuming carbohydrates, that's going to, one, slow down our metabolism. It's going to bog up our cells. It could be transported into more fat, which is going to further fog up our cells. It could disrupt a lot of things going on in our system. So I think plants are vital. Like, we need our plants. But if we're not getting a protein in from animal sources, and if we're not getting in enough, I think we're doing our body a disservice, especially as we age, because as we age, our muscles start to get smaller. Our bones get less dense. So protein is going to be very important in building muscle. And animal protein, it functions in our body so much better than plant protein. And I think there are times and places like meals throughout the day where you can have like a more plant-based meals. But I do think we do need beef, fish, eggs, chicken, eggs, just to give our body so much more of that protein. Anybody who's watching this right now, need to be eating roughly our ideal body weight in grams of protein per day. And if you're doing that through plants, it's going to be so much harder to get that much protein in per day. Mm-hmm. So for example, if I'm, I don't weigh myself often. I'm 145 pounds. I'm okay with my weight. I eat 145 grams of protein per day, roughly. Like, I'm not perfect.
Mm.
So
my ideal body weight is like 150 pounds, 150 mm-hmm. or 160, somewhere in there. So that's how much protein I should be eating every day.
Yeah.
I'm not at my ideal, hit the mic, my ideal body weight. I like my body though.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I'm not, now I'm curious. Am I getting enough protein? I don't know.
Track it.
Yeah.
So I don't track calories, but I usually track or have some like idea of how much protein I eat per day. So if anybody is like just getting started, I would simply start with just tracking your protein per day. And then what you're going to find is when you're eating more protein, you feel more full. So you don't have to stock up on extra carbs, extra snacks, extra junk food later on in the day, because the protein is much more satiating and it's going to fill you up.
Okay.
And this protein is going to be going towards helping you build muscle, because you guys are now going to be strength training at least 2 times a week, right?
That's right. At least 2 times a week.
At least.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad we added that in, because all the things that fuel us, from the things that we consume in terms of food and drink to the things that we consume for our minds, like all of these are important for our overall well-being. So a lot of great reminders today.
Glad you liked it. Thank you for having that.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here and for coming in person.
Yeah,
to be here. This is great.
I love energy. I love just talking to people in person. Energy is so much better.
I agree. And I think it also helps us to overcome the
you know.
Yeah. Because if this was like virtual, you know, and you're having an day, then you might just be I don't want to be here, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So thanks again.
Of course.
Thanks to Dr. Aissa for this grounding reminder that our bodies are always communicating and we are healthiest when we listen. If this episode resonated, take a moment to ask yourself, what is your body asking you for right now? You can learn more about Dr. Aissa McGurl and her work, including her book, Connect the Body Dots, in the show notes. If you enjoyed this conversation, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It really does help other listeners to find the show. Until next time, remember, work is third.